So it left off yesterday. A very, very perplexing question. Is there a requirement for a Beis Din to be present at the time of get or not? 90 Vladimir said a Gittin, and definitely a lack of clarity in the matter. So there's one Gemara that everyone's probably about. It's Gemara da Peches. The Gemara does talk about a Beis Din, and even talks about the high level of Beis Din, namely the other Smuchim. I think we're actually questions how we even do this in the absence of the time of Beis Din Smuchim. The problem is, does that Gemara really mean anything? Is that Gemara relevant for our discussion or not? So this was a major machlokes in the Ozeruah and others. And the Ozeruah thought that Gemara is the point. That's the key Gemara. And from that Gemara, you see that all Gittin require Beis Din, the Beis Din Smuchin, and we have to figure out what do we do with Manazah. And everybody else said to the Ozeruah, what does it do with anything? He said that Gemara is talking about a Beis Din necessary for Kviel again. That Gemara was talking about the unique case, the Yetzim in a Klal. Because the Ruah thought that Gemara is representing the Klal that all Gittin require a Beis Din. Say the other Rishonim, no, that Gemara requires a Beis Din because there's Kfir, we're forcing the guy to give a get. So Kfir requires Beis Din, not a get. The thing Kfir Shemar requires Beis Din. So we said, ooh, what an interesting Machlokes. That Machlokes is probably relevant to another Machlokes of Rishonim take place at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin, where Tosfos develops a theory that there are two halachas of batei dinim smuchim. There's one din that you need a beis din smuchim to paskin the din Torah. Then there's another din that you need a beis din smuchim to enforce things in halacha. Notice why I didn't say to enforce the din Torah. I said to enforce things in halacha. So if you hold that beis din is necessary to enforce things in halacha, but the thing need not necessarily be a din Torah, then the whole Ozeruah, mamish, lockstep about this fell by the wayside. All the Gemara said is that kfir of a get requires a Beis Din. Who said anything about a get being a Din Torah? But if one doesn't go down the route of Tosfos, if one reinterprets those Gemara Sanhedrin a little bit differently, that there is no halacha that kfir requires a Beis Din, and yet the Gemara talks about a Beis Din for a get, I think kfir, it's obviously not the kfir Shabbai that requires the Beis Din, it's the Din Shabbai that requires Beis Din. It's the Din Get Shabbai, it's the Din Imamina Shabbai, it's the Din Chashimishpat Shabbai, the Elam Mishpat Shabbai. So everything is hinging upon the truth of this Tosfos. Tosfos sold us this idea yesterday that there's a new halacha called Kfiyah needs Beis Din. Who disagrees with Tosfos? So I'll tell you exactly who disagrees with Tosfos. We left it hanging yesterday. Who disagrees? Who's the Rishon disagrees with Tosfos? The Shiran. Why does the Shiran disagree with Tosfos? I'll prove to you that the Shiran disagrees with Tosfos. Because the very question that got Tosfos rolling to be mechadish to us that there's a din that kfir needs Beis Din, the Chiddush Iran attacks that question and comes up with an entirely different answer. But in order to appreciate the amkus, the godless of this Chiddush Iran, we have to take a few steps back, and I know we're getting off the Gittin path for a moment. That's very, very, not regular for us, but we're going to try to do that. We have to learn together a Chiddush Iran because these are one of those Yetzirahs I cannot tolerate. A guy's going to come, if the whole year learning me, Maseches Gittin, and someone's going to meet him, some Yeshivish guy's going to meet him, and he's going to say, tell me some of the sugyas. And the guy's going to say, I discussed the Ozeruah and the Rivan about the Kfiya Begitin. And he's going to say, no, so what did Rabbi Solovsky say about the Chiddush Iran? Never heard of it. You missed the boat. How can you not know the Chiddush Iran? So for your own Torah knowledge, you have to know the Chiddush Iran. So comes Iran and has two bomb caches. And the Beis Din Sanhedrin. Number one is, what is the source for the Yom Smuchim? So one Gemara says, Elohim three times. Another Gemara says, Lifnev Lofnev Yaitis. That's cash number one. Cash number two is, Midirabonin, you don't need Smuchim anymore. Why is that? So one Gemara says, Ushlichusayu, we're the representatives of the Yom Smuchim. And the other Gemara says, Midirabonin, Hefke Beis Din Hefke, Shaltil Dalsu Veilovi. These are two different sugyas. What's going on? Says the Chiddush Iran, the following decide. There are two dinim of smuchin. Not Taisa's two dinim. My two dinim says Chiddush Iran. There are two dinim of smuchin. There's one din of smuchin in terms of the kashrus hadin. There are halachas that govern kashrus of psak din. A psak din is a Torah concept. The Torah has this idea: once a psak din emanates from Beis Din, so that psak is binding, and that now, if you break that psak din, you're a gazlan. The Beis Din goes and takes the money away. There are dinim that are neveya from a psak din. So there are halachas that govern what's made the psak din. So say the mashal. One of the details of the psak din is it has to come from the yadim who are not related to each other. Number two is the psak din has to be issued by yom. Well, maybe yom laila. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. What the parameters of that are, or let's say the mashal of a psak din was issued by the yadim who took sheichad. Das is nishkein psak din. So there are many halachas that govern what's called psak din. Let's say the mashal for psak din to be binding, you don't even really need all three dayanim to say it. Two out of three is also good enough. Rov, Rav Chaim, but acharam lahatas. There are a lot of dinim derais that were given to us that are the subcategories of this parish, of this sugya from psak din. So comes the chiddush around and says, we derive from a pasuk, Elokim three times, that a psak din has to come from the mouths of dayanim. What dayanim smuchim? That's what the word elokim means. Dayanim smuchim. The same way that dayanim have to be ksherim, they can't be relatives, they can't be bechal shabbos, they can't be goyim. They have to be dayanim smuchim. If not, the siddush came psak din. That's one din. Then there's a totally separate other halacha. Says Chiddush Iran. You as balei din are not allowed to go to non smuchim, even though if you go, it won't be buying anyway. It's like Dvarim B'Teilim. It's not going to be Chas, it's not going to be Teifes. But the very act of going is a bittul of the mitzvah of going to the Yom Smuchim. It's an affront to the Yom Smuchim. Says the Chiddush Iran, why did the Torah say, it's a b'chisa kovet to the Yom Smuchim. You can go to the Yom Smuchim and you choose to go to Tom, Dick, and Harry. That's an iser. It's not just that the din is not Chal. It's also to do so. Moshul was a bit of a boshul. Moshul, we spoke about this earlier in the year. The famous sheet of the Milchas Chinuch, based on the Gemara Mitzvahs Kedushin, if you try to be Mekadosh your sister, the Kedushin not Tosin. So I would say, if you stand on the Chuppah and give your sister a ring and say, Erev Kedesh, in front of Eidim, I would say, you're a nutcase. But you didn't do anything wrong. What does the Milchas Chinuch claim based on the Gemara? What? It's an Isser to be Mekadosh as Erev. I thought Tosin. That's right. You get E for effort. We get Malchus for effort. What else should you get? You did something wrong, even though nothing happened. So that's what the Sharan says. Mamish ain't that word. If you go to Dayanim Sheinam Smuchim, nothing's going to happen. It's Dvarim B'Teilim. The Psak doesn't register in the world of Psak. But you didn't have it anyway. What's the Mokor that you're not allowed to go to Dayanim Huanan Smuchim? What's the Give me a Mokor, no? If you have a Shmosh, it's not Mifreyam. How do I know that that's an Isser, even though the Psach is not Taifes? What's the other din learned after Elam Mishpatim? Who else you're not allowed to go to? Hashem says, Lifneim v'loa? Avdi Kichavim. The Gemara has two drashas. Lifneim v'loa, Avdi Kichavim, Lifneim v'loa, Hedyaitis. If you go to a Goyish of Eiz din, to our Kos, is the din Taifes? Bechlamba. There's a din with the Rabbanon that appears in the Mishnah later on in Git, that if it's Shtaros, Olba, Kershalakom, maybe it's good, maybe it's something. The Rabbanon have to raise left, as the Bechos Dina. Another time, another place. But Minat Torah, if you go to three Dayanim, one out there, the three judges, you go to Tom, Dick, and Harry, all three of them not being Jewish. Well, Harry's a stupid Jewish name. Okay, well, you go to three Goyim, and you go for Psak Din, did you accomplish anything? Goyim Nishkelf, and your Psak Din is both from Bavutl, it's not Shur V'Kayim. Did you violate an Issa? You better believe it. You went to our Kos. That's an Issa to go to our Kos. So comes the Chiddush Iran and says, there are two dinim. One is a din that addresses the kashrus apsak, and one is a din that addresses the iser, the chachil shabai. It's not a great surprise. We have two different sukkim. Now comes around and says, two problems, two psukim, two solutions. Beis din is desperate to change the din deraisa here because of socioeconomic considerations. You know what it's called? Shlo Tidol Delos Bebelovin. And Beis Din has the authority, based on the power invested in them called Hefka Beis Din Hefka, to actually fiddle and patchka around a little bit with the Din Deraisa. They can take what was otherwise a Din that's Botla Mavuto and say that it's binding. They can do that. Why? I don't have whether it's binding or not. I have Kamina whether who gets the money. So Beis Din do whatever they want money. They can take money out of your pocket and give it to the other guy. So basically declare this din, although according to the standards of the Shabbeinu and the din Yatayra is Dvarim B'Teilim, we hereby declare that it's not Dvarim B'Teilim, that it's very, very much Shar V'Kayim. And we have reason to do that. The rationale behind that is Shaltil Das May Lovim, which is exactly what the Gemara says at the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin, that Chazal were very, very worried about Shaltil Das May Lovim. It was very concerning to them, and therefore they patched around with a lot of protocol Mendaraisa. They did away with Dushva Chakir for the same reason by Dina Mamanus. They did away with Dina Mesbucha for the same reason. And therefore, because of the socioeconomic pressure and the authority they had, if they didn't have the authority of the Torah of Hefkvez and Efkvez, they could have all the socioeconomic pressure tomorrow. Socioeconomic pressure, political pressure, other kinds of pressure cannot allow you to be Mechal Shabbos, cannot violate Yisurim in the Torah. But it does give the Beis Din a certain degree of leeway in the realm of Dina Mamanus because there is that mechanism built into the system called Hefkvez and Efkvez. So therefore, Chazal changed the Dirim Deraisa. They did away with Dirim Tzimut, tossed it out the window, like they tossed out Dushachim and Dirim Omenes. And therefore, the Din is kosher. But says the Sharan, the Din is kosher, but what it's problem have we not yet? It's a losser. It's kosher of a losser. You're still not allowed to do it. So it's very nice and cute for Beis Din to say, it's okay, the Din is kosher, the money belongs to Reuben, even though it doesn't really. That's all cute, but Rabbi, how can I do it? I come and I take my friend to a Din Tar in front of Ed Yaitis, I'm in flagrant violation of the positive Chumash for Eila Mishpat Shetal of Yaitis. So how does making the Din Kosher change that Isser? So it says Chodesh Yeran, that's the Sugya in Gittin HaPeches. What is that called? Shtichusai. Shtichusai is the mechanism to avoid violation of the Fnei of the Yaitis. How is that solve the problem? Very, very simple. Says Chodesh Yeran, why is it that the Torah said you can't go to Adyaitis? What's wrong with Adyaitis? What's wrong with Adyaitis is it's a bizarre and a covet for the Yerim Smuchim. And the Torah said you went ahead and you're violating the bizarre and a covet of the Yerim Smuchim. That's a problem. Unless what? It's the Mechon and the covet. We pass it. So comes the Chiddush Yerim and says, you know what Shlichus Sayyid is? You read the Gemara Tzei Shlichus Sayyid, you thought of Shlichus, you're saying Tzayisim, you're saying Shlichus Sayyid, and maybe Hudas, and you think the Shlichus Sayyid means Shlichus? Shlichus Sayyid doesn't mean Shlichus. Shlichus Sayyid was just a code phrase. If you know what it really means? It really means Harav Shemachu Kvede Kvede Bochu. It means that the Dayanim Smuchim are okay with this. They're Meichel and they're covered, and they're from a male. Once they're Meichel, they come, a male, the Yisr falls by the wayside. So says the Sharan, the reason why we have two solutions. You don't need two solutions to one problem. You need two solutions to two problems because there were two different problems. One was a problem of the Kashas Adin. One was a problem of the Isser Lechetchila. Shulchosai was solving one. The Hefkebez and Hefke solving the other. And Shammai saw all the sugars are beautiful. Isha Makam Yav B'Sholom. Of course, according to this Chiddush Aran's Shtikul Torah, what very important piece of the puzzle of Smuchin just disappeared into thin air? Tells this theory that what? That there's a halacha that kfiyah requires smicha. That was Tosfos' whole breakthrough, right? That kfiyah requires beis din. Nothing to do with whether it's a din or not. Kfiyah in and of itself needs a beis din smuchin, says the Chiddush Aran, v'shtei tazoi. Where? Who Gemara? What Gemara? What Gemara said that? Where does that Gemara say that? Doesn't say it anywhere. So Tosfos, who made up this idea that there's a new parish, there's a new sug of kfiyah requiring beis din, was only true because Tosfos said the Shulchan Aruch in the Gemara. According to the Sharad, that's not at all what the Gemara means. The whole Taisus is not true. The whole Dechir Diyazur is not true either.
Why is it so that they're necessarily arguing on each other? Maybe Tosus is talking about the Havelina of the question, meaning that when Abaye asked with Yosef, maybe that's what Tosus was referring to. Like when Abaye had this question for Rav Yosef, he's saying this is the
Ran himself says before.
She
says that Abaye's kasha was become with Isser. Abaye knew what it says in Sanhedrin Dabeis. He had no problems with the kasha Sadin, but his problem was, hey, wait a second, but we're still not allowed to do it. The Ran learns Pshat, that was good for the kasha, that there's an Isser Lechetchila to do it, which the answer was, don't worry about the Isser Lechetchila, it's Chosayel solves that.
When did the actual Mechivas Kavod occur? Like, did that occur in earlier days before?
Yeah, the Isser Chosayel worked even when there were the Yom Smuchim Neret Yisrael, but it was too hard for the bubble people to get there. Isser Chosayel worked then also.
The whole power to have the ability for Hediotos comes from after this and after, how could it affect Gittin?
You mean, how is the Din Kosher? How is the Gittin? Oh, very good. So in Gittin, we always fall back on, whenever we have to fall back on Hefkebez and Hefke, that helps for Gittin also, because we're okay the original condition. That's what the verse says in a few places. That's Afkinu. Afkinu can be machshir or get midirabbanon based on being mafka the original moment of kiddushin.
So anytime we go hadyotos,
so again, if you hold that shlichusayu only works with the rabban, that's the part of the next part of this discussion. Hang in there for a second. So there's one other nakuda here, which is it's a sidetrack of a sidetrack. But again, I can't justify not sharing this with you. Something else emanates from Mizran, a tremendous, tremendous chiddush from Mizran. What is shlichusayu not? For sure not. And what else is it not? It is not a mechanism to do what? To be machshir dinim. It is not a mechanism to take something that otherwise is not valid and turn it into being valid. Shlichus Chayav doesn't do that. All Shlichus Chayav does is it's matir isurim, but it's not machshir psulim. There's a big difference between the two. Shlichus Chayav is just a code phrase from Mechidas HaRabbanim that covered the Chizat Dayonim. So therefore, that's matir the isur of going to the Nandi and Mismuchim. What it does not have the authority at all to do is lo'ilu l'das, says Chiddush Iran, that it can be machshir davar apostle. If it's apostle, it's apostle. The only thing that can be machshir apostle adin is hefker beis and hefker. That's a different sugya. That's a sugya tzedet, not a sugya ngid. Anyone who doesn't go down the root of this Chiddush Iran may learn that shlichus Chayav is a machshir. How does it work? I'm not sure yet. It's a machshir. What would Tosfos do with the second kash of the Iran? Half of the Gemara says two different reasons. Remember, according to the Tosfos, the whole Chiddush Iran is not right. So why does the Gemara say shlichus Chayav in one place and say hefker beis hefker nidos dals in the other place? So Tosfos probably held that it was never kashed in the first place. That shaltidos dals le'lovim was the reason why they made the takana, the reason why Bezin got involved. The mechanism that they used to be machshir din was what? Shlichus Chayav. Tosfos probably held shlichus Chayav is a real din. Shlichus Chayav is not just a matir asurim, it's a machshir sapsulim. So that nekuda that now emanates from this bucket is all part of the Azarua. Depending on what you think, I told you, kol ha-shas, kol ha-tarkul, all tali zebzeh. You pull one string, the whole thing unravels. Depending on what you think about the Azarua and the other Rishayim, how to repay ches, ultimately depends upon Tosfos and the Chiddush Iran, which ultimately depends upon what you think Shlichus Chayav is or is not. According to the Ran, it's a very, very limited scope of Shlichus Chayav. All Shlichus Chayav can do is one thing alone. It could be mechilas ha-kavod of dayonim. It could be matri surim of kavod ha-tayra. It can't be machshir any psulim, and the other Rishon Tosfos says it can. So that impacts on another totally separate machlokes, and with that we'll try to end the side, trying to get back to our regular scheduled program. There is a famous kasha that all the Rishon ask him, almost all the Rishon ask him, Maseches Yevamos, the fourth parak. It is a davar poshet ad ma'oid that we have geiris b'zman hazeh. Nobody ever questioned that. The Amorim had geiris in the Rishon, had geiris, and we have geiris until the very day. There's no question that geiris exists b'zman hazeh min haTorah. No question about that. The only question that Rishon bothered with is how does that work? Because l'chora, the Gemara says you need a bezin for geiris, mishpat k'sibay, and if mishpat means dayanim, what kind of dayanim does it mean? Smuchim. So we're a little bit of a catch 22. How do we have dayanim, this man hazeh, that could supervise a geiris? The Gemara says in Yevamos that you need a bezin for geiris li'ikuva. How does that work? What happened to smicha? So that's a question that all the Rishon bothered with, except for the Rambam. The Rambam wasn't bothered with Akash, and the Rambam said smicha is irrelevant, it has nothing to do with Bezin and Geiris, it's a different story. But Tosfos and the Rambam, all the other Rishon bothered with Akash. So one of the many, many answers that's given, everyone has to come to an answer. There is no way to conclude otherwise. Nobody says Geiris doesn't exist today. The Gamarayim had Geiris, the Rishon had Geiris, the Gaelim had Geiris, we have Geiris till this very day. So there's not a Shiloh, there's Geiris, there's Isaac, there's Man. We're just trying to fine tune how to get around this bump in the road. So Tosfos in a few places quotes a teretz of this kasha. Anyone know what the teretz is? Anyone know the teretz? Sure. Tosfos quotes. That's the fancy teretz. Tosfos in a few places quotes shlichus Chayav. Tosfos says no problem. We can do dinner Torah based on shlichus Chayav. We can pass in kitten based on shlichus Chayav. We do everything. Shlichus Chayav is the solution to the world's problems. Says Tosfos. Is it a great shock that Tosfos said that? Not a great shock. Which Rishon in a million years would ever say that? The Rambam, essentially. Shlichus Chayav doesn't solve a problem. It's not machshir psulim. You can't make somebody Jewish based on Shlichus Chayav. Shlichus Chayav says you can ignore the covenant of the day on Tzimuchim. So the Chiddush Rambam would never say such a thing. So the Ramban in Yevamos quotes this teretz to Shlichus Chayav, and he says, I don't think it's right. Not because the Chiddush Rambam, the Ramban lived before the Rambam, not because of the Chiddush Rambam's objection. The Ramban says, I don't think it's right because I don't think Shlichus Chayav is a deraisa. Yes, it's machshir psulim on the level of the rabbanon, hefker beis and hefker afkinu, that kind of stuff. How can I turn Goyim into Jews? So the Rabban gives other tirutzim. There are half a dozen other tirutzim to this kasha. But that application of Shtichusayu, that one day in Tosfos pulled off and said Shtichusayu is what saves the day for Ali Gerusim for the last 1,700 years, that's going to be Ikvas HaTosfos, that Shtichusayu is a machshir on the love of Deraisa. It's not just until Shushus B'Alma, like Patishima. So again, you have how many sugyas are connected? So you have Gittin Peches, is now connected to Sanhedrin Abeis, is now connected to Yevam Mustafa Memheim and Vav. If all these interplay of these sugyas, depending on what you think you get in Bechas, is going to impact on what you think about Gerusim B'Zman HaZeh. So it's all one big drawing picture.
How's the Ran doing Gerusim B'Zman HaZeh?
So the Ran has given other answers that are given to this kasha. So there are some Rishim Tzela Dara Sechem Ksiv, that some of the Gemara Krizo says you don't need a Korban B'Zman HaZeh, whatever, you can't have this Namakev, or the Rambam holds that the Bezim for Gerus is not a Bezim Shabsa. Right, so that's what he said, right? Taizus, who ever dreamt of this teretz, of Shnichus Sayu, is assuming such and such. Oh, so Taizus, who invoked Shnichus Sayu, so Taizus made up a new phrase. Taizus says that Shlo Tidal Delos Befei Gerim. Taizus says that we don't want to hold the gate, the Gerim want to come. So a person wants to be his guy, we're going to do everything we can to make it easy for him. So whether it's more shkich or less shkich, I don't know, but there's enough of an incentive for us to do it. That's Tosis Mamish. You made up a phrase called Shal Tidal Dals Fei Geirim.
Is there not even more phases working nowadays to Hefer
Beis
and
Hefer
versus
Shire? It could be a possible enough Kavita, maybe.
If it's Hefer Beis and Hefer, then maybe you don't have to follow all the rules, because they make the rules.
You have to follow the rules that the Beis and the original Beis and that versus, yeah, but the Beis and that made Hefer Beis and Hefer is not the Beis and of today. It's the Beis and of the Chachmei Gemara.
So why is it
not Shibu Sai? It's not clear whether Shibu Sai would be enough. It's not 100% clear. It's not 100% clear enough for me to be. Okay, so anyway, this is all. So hope everyone enjoyed. Can we get back, please, to Maseches Gittin? Okay, good. So we have a running machlokes here in the Rishonim to the Yozarua against seemingly everybody else as to whether ultimately every get under the sun requires a Beis Din, or just a Gittin of Kfiyah. So it must be a big, big problem. There's a huge problem with the Yozarua. You know what the huge problem is? Is that the facts on the ground don't match up according to the Yozarua. There are 90 blot in Maseches Gittin that talk about a get. And never do Chazal ever make the point of saying, oh, by the way, you have to have 3 dayanim there. We know at most, how many dayanim do you need? Most. Maximum. Right? Not the Yerim, sorry. How many people? Maximum two. Edi Mesira, maybe. I'll tell you a secret. There are many Rishonim who say, you don't even need any Mesira. All you need is what? Edi Chasima. Edi Chasima, either independently are good, or they wear the t-shirts of Edi Mesira. We're not sure how they work, but we have many, many, many reasons to believe that the maximum Sachako people necessary to get are two. Nowhere in the Maseches does it say 3. That's quite a challenge of yours, Aruah. Don't you think Chazal should have told us somewhere along the line that bringing in a third guy to be the Dayan? So you know where this kasha? Yours, Aruah, is this kasha. On himself. You know what yours, Aruah, says? Absolutely no question about it. Not negotiable. Of course, you require a Beis Din for a get. Eila mishpat shetos lefeim ksiv. How many dayanim make of a Beis Din? Anyone let the first mission in Sanhedrin? Didn't Mamas b'shloisha? So comes the Gemara, and the Beis Maseches Sanhedrin has a big machlokes. We mentioned this yesterday, referenced it yesterday. One day the Gemara says that all dinei Torah under the sun require 3 dayanim, Elokim 3 times, and the 3 times goes at all dinei Torah, and chayk v'layavar 3 times, nothing to discuss. And you know what the other day in the Gemara says? Not true. Elokim was said only on gezeilos v'chavolos. That's what the Pesukim were talking about. What about contracts? Preacher contracts, maiseloch, selling houses, and the body Yerusha, and the partnership, that kind of stuff. Contracts. Chad nami kosher. One dayan is good enough. You know why? Betzedek tishbait amisecha loshin yochid. That pasuk's true. And you thought that pasuk was referring to being giving guys the benefit of the doubt. That's also true. Dan lechav schos. That's true. But there's a din deraisa. Betzedek tishbait amisecha says the Gemara in Sanhedrin Dabeis. And according to one opinion in the Gemara, which Migma Chalik's Rishon, we may even pass like that one day, one Tchad Dami Kosher. So comes the Ozeru and says, even Naniach, even Zol Zayin, that Beis Din is necessary for a get, it is impossible to say that more than one Dayin is necessary. That it must be, says the Ozeru, we pass in Lachad Dami Kosher. The Ozeru is very convinced that at the end of the Beis, we pass in Lachad Dami Kosher. And even if Ela Mishpatim is Chal on Gittin, it's no more Chal on Gittin than the Din of Hodos Vavos is Chal. You need a Beis Din of one. I'm at the Rabbanan, they instituted the Imamish Meshloisha, they never instituted by Gittin. By Gittin, one is good enough. And therefore, the Ozeruah backpedals entirely from his entire sheet and says, I'm a big believer, you need a Beis Din for a get, you need a Beis Din for a get, you need a Beis Din for a get. You know what? You will always have one. You know why? You're always going to have two people there, at least two people. You're always going to have somebody there. He'll be the Dayan. So you're going to tell me, Shtichot Torah, no, according to the Rif and the Rambam, that the Chasiba Karsi is good enough, and you're not going to have Edi Mesira, but don't have to be a child. As a Rif, from Tamid Rabbeinu Tam, he's from the Balei Taisis, of course you have Edi Mesira, but the Edi Mesira, they're Edi, the Dayanim, Edi Nas, Dayan, yeah, wait till the next week for that one. So therefore, the Azarua says, I stick to my guns. You need a Beis Din. But by definition, I just watered down the Beis Din to such a limit, one's good enough. So I state in the Hilgo Azarua.
We're assuming that there's always
Eidim Mesira? The Ozeruah is assuming there's always Eidim Mesira, yeah. Because he's from Rabbi Natan's people.
Yeah. So now according to
the
Ozeruah, for Gerus also,
you'd be still right, so okay with just one. Gavaldi, very good. So the Mordechai, we talked about this hopefully in two sugars down the line. The Mordechai, it was actually Yevamah's quotes from Rabbi Natan, of course, from Yishan, who say that Ger Tzorech Mishpat, Ger Tzorech Beis Din. How many dirhams does he need? One. I think Gemara says three. That's with the Rabbanan. One dayan is good enough. Mikra din for gerus. I didn't say we pass it. Then Shulchan Aruch, we don't accept that view. But there are Rishonim who said that exactly what the Ozeru said by Gittin. The Mordechai quotes the same as by gerus. Inochinan, right? Inochinan. So you're probably scratching your head wondering why do we spend a day and a half talking about the Ozeru's grandiose sheet that it says you need Beis Din, and then turn around and say, oh, by the way, you always have it anyway. That's why the Gemara never bothered to tell us about it. A little bit of a downer, right? Is there any significance to the Ozeruah Shita? I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. We're going to come back to it in a moment. Is there any real significance to saying you need Beis Din, but one's good enough?
Absolutely Beis Din.
Oh, if you say you need Beis Din, if you really believe that the Ozeruah and heart and soul you need Beis Din, we just water down quantitatively what's Beis Din, there's going to be another halacha that's going to be staring us in the face. You know what it is? Beis Din cannot function when?
At night.
At night. And there was a ruin, one fell swoop just knocked all Gittin out of the box at night. Because if Beis Din is necessary, it's a chayt v'lo yav, you need Beis Din. You don't need the quantity of three, but you can't have Hodos v'avos Beis Din at night. It's a different halacha. All din in Torah posel at night, not because it's Deos v'chavos. It's a different posel, you have Yom HaChilos Bonav, Nachlos, Yerushas, Sugis of Abbasra. A Beis Din doesn't function at night, finished. If the Ozeruah is right, that you need a Beis Din, just relate, get away with one, so then all Gittin at night posel. Minatora. If you hold against the Ozeruah that lo hayud v'me'elam, there never was such a din, that's only a special din by get ayde kfiya, nothing to do with anything else. There never was, never is, never will be a din that a get per se needs beis din. The get v'yom is perfectly acceptable, unless it's kfiya. Kfiya is a different story. We're not doing kfiya now. A regular normal get, the husband's happy to give a get to his wife. So what's wrong with giving a get at night? So now the Ozeruah is going to become less of an afkamina in terms of number of people there, because the Ozeruah himself is forced into the corner to agree that we got to let it get away with less than three. It can't be three because the 90 blatant kitten don't bear that out. But there's still going to be a tremendous afkamina in terms of Lila. So let's put the Lila on the back burner for a little while. I still want to go back to the Ozeruah and the other Rishonim. The Ozeruah had this idea, this unbelievable chiddush gadol shein kamayu, that that a get requires a beis be'atz musay. It's part of Eilam Mishpat v'shatas l'fev. Or being odos v'avos, it is. It's not says v'chalos, but unbelievable chiddush. Was the Ozeru the first one to say this? Sometimes you ask. So there is a very cryptic Rashi, the Maseches Nedarim in the Beis Din Aleph, that may or may not have said this, depending on what you think Rashi did or did not say. And when so the Ma'amar comes, Rashi and Nedarim in the Beis. Put on the Ma'amar Kodesh? I need a little bit of background in the story. It all starts with a little girl, 8 years old, and father's no longer alive, so obviously she can't start keeping cash, she's not alive. She can't be Kaddish herself because she's a lot bas das, so she's really in trouble. There's a shit of Christ out there. All her friends are getting married. All the girls in third grade are already son done deal. They're all getting married. And she doesn't even know anything. She can't get married. So Chazal was very concerned with her. You know what Chazal did? He gave her an opportunity to get married. Midatarish, no choice. There's no hav, there's no har. Midarabban, the instituted what's called Kedushe Miun. He said the mother and the brothers, they're the ones who have the best interests in mind. They, Chazal Mesaka, and Kedushin, the Rabbanah of this little girl, so she could also get married before she enters fourth grade. Okay, Baruch Hashem. However, Chazal realized that this is a little bit of a tricky idea because we don't know that she really likes this guy. I mean, she's only in third grade, so how much, you know, if she would wait till she's, 12 years old, in a Torah, then she'll have an opinion on the matter. But if she'd be in seventh grade, but in third grade, she may not know. So therefore, with the Rabbanah, they instituted it like this. We're going to give her an exit clause, right? There's a good exit clause. Give her a way out. Now, normally there are only two ways out of a marriage. It's either get or misabal. So get, the husband may not want to. You know, he's already an older kid. He's already in ninth grade. So he doesn't want to get divorced. He likes her. But she may not be to like him so much. Misabal. You don't want to kill the poor husband. He's a teenager. He's got a whole life ahead of him. So what are we going to do for this girl? So here we married her off with the Rabbanim because she wanted to get married before starting fourth grade. And before she went off to sleepaway camp, she had to get married first. So we're in trouble. How are we going to give her that way out? So Chazal said, "Hey, mama, we made this condition. We made the problem. We made the pickle. We'll get her out of the pickle." We instituted a new parsha, a new din der rabbanan called Miun. Let her come to Beis Din right before she turns 12 and announce to the Dayanim, "I want out of this one." So that's called Miun. There's a whole parak dedicated to the parsha to Sugya Miun. It's all din der rabbanan. The whole parsha Miun is Lagami bid der rabbanan. It was made up as a solution to a problem that they themselves created. Kedushin Miun. The Mishnayos tell us that Sugya is the Gemara. You have to be very, very careful with Miun. You know why? If you do Miun too late, it's going to be a big, big problem. Why? What's called too late? You have to bas mitzvah. It's a disaster. Why? Because if she remains married to him in the Rabbanon post 12 years old, what may happen? They may have Bia together. And guess what? That becomes a Kedushin Deraisa. That's Kedushin Bia. She's a Rabbas Das. She's already over the age of 12. So that's a big, big problem. And you can't do Miun on that you require a get. So therefore, the Mishnah says, you must do Miun before she turns Bas Mitzvah. The Gemara says, even if you know for a fact that they didn't have Bia yet, after 12, Midrabbanan, their Messiah is a low plug. Once she's 12 years old, Ein Manan, that's it, too late to do Miun. So you have to do Miun before the age of before the age of 12. Okay. So Miun exists, it's on the books, it's a parak of Masechus Yevamos, there's Sugyas, Shleimus, a lot of lumdus in the Rishayim about Miun, but it's there. Goes without saying, probably most of us have never seen a Miun, because we usually don't have marriages of girls under the age of 12, besides the fact that it's illegal in our country. That's probably not the best idea either, and therefore we don't have any of these kinds of cases. So Miun has fall by the wayside for quite some time. Anyone know historically when the last Miun that we know documented was? It took place in the Beis Din of a man by the name of Yaakov Polak. Yaakov Polak lived in Poland. He was one of the first Talmid Chacham to come to Poland. The Jewish community in Poland was relatively new on the horizon. Jews lived, most of our Ashkenazim, so our ancestors came from the areas that now are Germany and France, the whole world of the Balatizes, before the Balatizes of Germany and France. And then slowly but surely, the Jews started to move, to migrate eastward. And they started to move towards Poland, Lithuania, that whole part of the world that became, pretty much where most of our great-great-grandparents came from. Why did they move to Poland at this time? Anyone know? Two factors converged together. First of all, Germany, they were getting killed right and left. There were a lot of pogroms, and it was post-Crusades, and a lot of other things were going on. But something else. Anyone know why the Jews started to move eastward? Very simple. The Polish kings and nobles realized, somebody tipped them off and said, that you got to get the Polish economy starting a little bit. Things were not doing too well in Poland. They said that these guys, they know how to run business. The Jews were very, very good at business. Why are the Jews always good at business? It's also a very, very simple equation. It's true out of your mitzvah. Why were Jews, besides all the brachas that were given to Avraham Avinu, but if you derech hateva, why were the Jews always very good in business?
They were allowed to charge interest.
Yeah, that's how they made money off of it. But I'm talking about even with themselves. But because why? Business always, so much of business even today, relies upon connections. Relies upon who you know. More important, who you can trust. So if imagine as follows. You have a non-Jew comes from France and he wants to travel to Italy and strike some kind of a business deal. He doesn't know anybody. He doesn't trust anybody. Whereas Yankel Shmerel comes from France and he comes to Italy to strike. Walks into Shulman Chamayim. First of all, this is my Mechutin's cousin. He's the down for the Amid over there. And this one, I know this guy. He used to, we were at the Cheder together 30 years ago. I kid you not, this is mamish true. When you look in the history books, I'll tell you, that's how the Jews were so much leach in business in the Middle Ages. It all had to do with who you know and who you trusted. So the Polish nobility got wind of this system and they said, let's bring some of these guys over here. So one or two people went, and they were rather matzliach, and it doesn't take much to figure out. One or two people matzliach, three or four people matzliach, and all of them had waves of immigration. And slowly but surely, the Jewish community in Poland became, that's what happened. So Kol's mind that they were good to the Jews, so the Jews thrived, and the Polish people thrived. Unfortunately, tragically, what happened was that this relationship that the Jews started to build up, this very good name for themselves, the Polish nobility, that was all good, assuming that the Polish nobility were on top of their game. Unfortunately, in 1648, when the Ukrainian peasants decided to revolt against the Polish nobility, that was Khmelnytsky and Gezeres Tachvatat. So unfortunately, who were the first Karbonos? Were never all the Jews, because they were, in the eyes of the Ukrainians, they were the enemy. So depends on, it's good to be rich sometimes, but not always. So depending on how history plays out for you. Back to that story. So Rav Yaakov Polak was from the first of the Talmidei Chacham. You know, usually what happens is, you know, the Balabatim start to test the waters a little bit. They make a few dollars. Then it was, hey, wait a second. We need someone to shecht animals. We need someone to paske dinetar. We need someone to marry off our children. So they start bringing the Rabbanim in. That's usually the way Jewish history plays out. So Rav Yaakov Polak was one of those from the first Rabbanim who made their way over to Poland. And he set up yeshiva in Poland. And Talmidim in his yeshiva. One of his Talmidim was the man by the name of, and we know who the Talmudic was. They talk about 1300s. Remember the name of Rav Shalom Shachna. So the Talmud Nuvuk of Yaakov Polak. Rav Shalom Shachna, after Yaakov Polak passed away, he took over. He became one of the leading forces in Polish Jewry, in Talmidei Chacham in Poland. He had a young Talmud also. Anyone know what his name was? A little boy by the name of Moshe Isserles, later to become the Ramah. So the Ramah was his Talmud, and like any good Rebbe, he liked his Talmud a lot. He took him as a son-in-law. So the Ramah became Rav Shalom Shachna's son-in-law. So he became the Talmud of the Talmud of Yaakov Polak. So I don't think the Ramah, I don't have to check the dates, I don't think the Ramah ever saw Rav Yaakov Polak, but he always viewed him as his Shver's Rebbe, his father-in-law's Rebbe, and his Rebbe's Rebbe. So he looked him for guidance every once in a while. So why am I telling you this? Because in the days of Yaakov Polak, a big machlokes broke out. That there was a little girl who had got Kedushin de Rabbanon, and they, it's a good Jewish history course today, right? We learn a little bit about the history. We appreciate what's going on. So comes there was a story that happened, a little 10-year-old girl, whatever, had Kedushin de Rabbanon, and then she wanted to do Mian a little bit later. So they came to the Beis Din of Yaakov Polak and they said, well, we want to do Mian. So he said, boom, open up the Sefer Yevamos, read the Sugyas, Mian, make sure we do everything right, we'll do Mian. And the world caved in. Many, many Rabbanim at the time said, we haven't done Mian, we never heard of anything. Who does Mian today? We haven't done Mian in hundreds of years. It's going to be such a zilzul. People are going to think that the Ish is Yaitzeh B'liget. Not everybody learned the end of the Sefer Yevamos, not everybody knows about Mian. It's going to be such a catastrophic results of this thing. To see this girl was married. Oh, where's the get? Oh, we're very very progressive. We don't need getting anymore. All we need is the girl to come to Beis and say, I don't like you anymore. That'd be a terrible mikshel. So therefore, many, many rabbis said, the oilam is not sophisticated enough to understand miyun. Cut miyun. No more miyun's bezbanazah. Yaakov Polak said, get them to be sophisticated. Learn them the Masechus. Teach them the dinim. You're going to ruin this girl's life because you're not sophisticated. So there's a big machlokes broke out in Poland at the time. But again, as long as the Jews are making money for the nobility, everything was fine. So the Jews are making money. The Ravonim were fighting about Mion Bisman and sure. So the Ramah writes, and Evan Ezra, there's one sibling about Mion and Evan Ezra. So the Ramah writes that even though there were some Ravonim who were opposed to doing Mion, so the Ramah writes, I have a transmission from my Rebbe's Rebbe from Yaakov Polak that Vishas and Chaki, it's still beside him Mion Bisman and Kachava. And he writes, the Ramah writes, and Yaakov Polak did it. He himself personally supervised the Mion. So that's, to my knowledge, that's the last Mion we have on record. that the later generations somehow shied away from Miyun. And again, Kiddush HaKatana became much, much less prominent and much popular anyway. And Ramaisa, I don't know of any Miyun in the last 700 years. But one time in some little town in Poland somewhere, there was the last Miyun that we know historically on record. Anyway, back to that story. So Rashi lived before this whole Balagan. Rashi still lived in France. He was from French Germany. He was the great-great-great-grandparents of these Bali Dabar. So Rashi, in Maseches Sanhedrin, he's not pasking shailas, he's not sitting on a Beis Din, he's not running a Miyun, he's writing a Perush of Maseches. That was Rashi's job, to write a Perush of Maseches Sanhedrin. So he's posed with the following challenge. The Mishnah, the Beis Din Sanhedrin lists how many dirhams you need for every single case under the sun. So dinim amas b'shleisha, dinim fashim b'chav gimel, and malchus and machoikis, and this is a this, and I'm saying Eglon Rufi needs 71, and Nidach Steve said, every case you got to need 71, and they'll say, every case under the sun. So the Mishnah is delineating how many dayam you need. And on the list it says, Hamiyun Bishloisha. You need three dayam for Miyun. So Rashi is bothered with the kasha. You know what Rashi's kasha is? But not immediately. What are the days in for Miyun for? Let's just come to the rabbi. Miyun was made up by the Chachamim. Miyun's not a din deraisa. The whole thing is there's no such concept of Miyun in deraisa. So why did Chazal make a takana that you have to come to a basin? Just let her come to the rabbi's house. She'll talk to the rabbi and the rabbi. I don't want to be with this guy. The rabbi, this is like Yalav Yavo. What does it have to do with the basin? Make a taste. What do you need a basin for? Everyone saw the Rashi? What's Rashi's solution to that problem? Rashi doesn't even ask the question. He gives the answer. But from Rashi's answer, you can tell, Ma, how's it go? What's bothering Rashi? The English book, what's bothering Rashi? What's bothering Rashi is, why in the world do you need a basin for me? So what's the answer, Rashi? Called the Tikkun Rabbanan came to Rashi Tikkun. Oh, no. You need a basin with the Rabbanan, because when the basin, some basin are called the days of Meshe Beinu and Rabbi Danasi, somebody instituted the Pasha, the Sugya of Miyun. So comes Rashi and says, when they instituted Miyun, they had their eyes on the ball. They were looking at their Isaacical world, and they said, let's make Miyun Ke'en the Deraisa. The Deraisa that they had their eyes on requires a Beis Din. So the Derabbanan Miyun requires a Beis Din as well. So I just want to ask you, which Deraisa? Eglon Rufi? Which Deraisa? So, where Deraisa? So comes the Yehuda, famous from Shuv, and says, it's clear as day, that the Deraisa here is what? You said it? Is get called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun. They're Misakin Miyun. Miyun, the only Deraisa that's close to Miyun is a get. What does a get do? A get breaks up an Ishus. So a get breaks up an Ishus Deraisa. A Miyun breaks up an Ishus with Rabbanan. So just as the Torah Kedesha said, when you give a get, it has to be in the presence of three Dayan, or some kind of an Abazin, whatever that means. So too, Miyun with Rabbanan has to be done in the presence of a Abazin. That's the Kein Deraisa. And then the Yehuda says, you see from here that who's right? Which Rishon is right? Ozer was right. You need a Beis Din. There's something wrong with what I just said. What's wrong with what I just said? Ozer said, you need a Beis Din, you don't need three.
So you need one.
So but the Mishnah says, Miyun be Gimel. So there's a missing piece of this puzzle. The Yehuda is claiming that Rashi meant to say, called the Tikkun Rabbanan and Miyun Kein Deraisa of Get, and Get needs three, as the Ozer Ruah says, because the dinner based in. But we have to whisper to the Ozer Ruah himself, you're hanging your hat on the Ozer Ruah himself said one. What is the missing piece of this puzzle? So I'll tell you what the missing piece is. It's a missing manuscript. This is the first here for sure was historical, the scientific, very academic day today. It's a missing manuscript. You know what the missing manuscript is? The Ozer Ruah was missing in action. It was in hiding for hundreds and hundreds of years. The Nedi Behuda never saw a text of the Ozer Ruah. Nobody saw the text of the Ozer Ruah for about 500 years. The Ozer Ruah was written by Rabbi Yitzchak of Vienna. It was written in Vienna in the Middle Ages, and it got lost somewhere. It got hiding in the Vatican. Somebody was holding on to it in some museum somewhere. Nobody saw an Ozer Ruah for 500, 600, 700 years. So how do the Achronim quote Ozer Ruah? They're not quoting the Ozer Ruah. They're quoting Rishonim, who are quoting the Ozer Ruah. They're quoting other sources, the people who did see the Ozer Ruah, but they never saw the Ozer Ruah himself. Anyone know when the Ozer Ruah was reprinted? the 1800s. It was dug up again. They found it again in the 1800s. They found the original manuscript of the Yisroel. It wasn't reprinted again until the 1800s. I'll give you an example. The Prima Gadim never saw an Yisroel. The Mishnah Berurah did see it. But the Chavetz Chaim already had access to the Yisroel. There's a famous Mishnah Berurah, Nochah Shabbos, where he quotes the Prima Gadim. He says, the Prima Gadim said the following Shtigl Torah to Amster Kasha and Yisroel. Mishnah Berurah says, the reason why the Prima Gadim's Torah is not correct is because Lo Ra or Yisroel Miyamov. In case you think what I'm saying is Kavir was in the Mishnah Berurah. No. Okay, it doesn't matter. You can, trust me. It's in Shimon. It's Mishnah Berurah. It's a very long one. It says, Acha shezachinu ledivrei arzarush and nitfasu b'yameinu, the following is, forget about it, doesn't matter. I'm telling you it's true. It's not because it's trust me. Just what? Is it private or public? Who owns it? Mishnah Berurah.
It's
Mishnah Berurah. Who owns it?
One of the guys in the Yeshiva.
Is it like for public use?
See, it's open it.
Nathan Pittman.
Does he let
me see? He's close.
What?
We're mounting guy.
Does he know that it's here?
Yeah, he knows it's here.
And he's assuming people are using it? He knows it's here?
Yeah.
And he hasn't taken it?
Yeah.
So I think
yeah.
That's Mustama built in Yeshua's, no?
He knows we take
shaving
here.
Yeah, oh, okay. Well, shake your okay. If I don't quote it, guys, you think of some scholar. That's not very good. Walk away from the whole Shia saying, what did you learn today in Shia? We learned about Jewish history in the 1300s in Poland, that we learned about manuscripts in the Vatican. That's what we learned today. This is the wrong chelik.
There's a second chelikum.
What?
Second valid chelikum.
What was wrong with Chelik Gimel in the normal way?
Yeah.
This is the problem in today's world. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the old Sfarim. The good old Sfarim. Mishnah Berurah used to be short. The old ones. It's a different one. It's not the one I'm looking for. Okay, that wasn't the one I'm looking for. Hold on, I'm trying to find the one I'm looking for. He quotes this. He says, "V'lo ra divra bena v'al shidus al muvi azruah." But he says the Prima Gadim didn't see the Yisroel, doesn't it? Where, he uses that lashon over there. He uses.
Yeah.
So what does he say?
He says, "I'm the Mishnah
Berurah,
the
Lokah, the Gadim Shiratz Alomar, the Torah, the whole Avni, the Lokah, the just observes the reality of Prima Gadim didn't see the Yisroel. Guess what? Yehuda did the Nebuda. The Nebuda and Prima Gadim were around the same time. The Nebuda didn't see the Yisroel either. And therefore, the Yehuda thought that the Yisroel held that you need a Beis Din for a get. What's the quantity of a Beis Din? How many dirhams do you need? Three. he did not know that the Azura asked this kasha himself, but the Gemara never says three, and therefore the Azura fell back on the one chadnami kasher, that whole piece of information that Nadibira didn't know. You can't blame him for it, he didn't see the Azura. So Nadibira gives a whole nother shtickle Torah as to how the Azura will explain 90 blanim Masechas Gittin that the Azura didn't give. And therefore, Nadibira claims that the sheet that says you need a beis din, Taka says you need three. And now says Nadibira, that's what Rashi says here also. Because that's the Kein Deraisa. So even if the Nebuchadnezzar is not writing the Azarua, he's writing Rashi, Lamaisa Rashi says Kein Deraisa Tikkun.
Why can't it be Chalitza?
Wait, hold on. So that's a Nebuchadnezzar's Mamish is slam dunk. Kein Deraisa, get, the game's over, that's it. Says the Chassam Sofer, the Chlalma, totally not. A get that smusel doesn't require beis and never did, never will. But there is a unique kind of a get that does require beis. And what is that? Who remembers? Gittin peches. What kind of get requires beis? Not because the gittin shabai, but what? Get ide kfiya. What does get ide kfiya mean? That means we're breaking up an ishus that the husband really, really in his heart and soul doesn't want to break up. But we have mechanisms in halacha how to break up nishas, even against the quote-unquote will of the husband. We cover Hashem and Ratzadi. The takonas chachamim of miyun zot chesam soifer is ke'ein yaraisa of not a regular standard get. It's radically different from a regular standard get. A regular get is miratzad abal. Miyun is against the husband. If the husband wants to cooperate, then give her a get. What is miyun rabbi say? It's ke'ein what yaraisa. Of a get ide kfiya. A get ide kfiya, thank you very much, ayin yitin da peches, requires dayonim. Why? Asher tosim lefneyam, ayin yitin, in case you thought that the sugyan said was not relevant, it just came at chizem esim. Because there's a din of get ide kfiya, which taka does require dayonim in deraisa, when chazal misakad miyon, and misakad ke'ein the deraisa, get ide kfiya, nish get, pasha, not a regular, plain, simple get. So, wow, if you live in Prague, and you live in the world, and you're in the base manager, and they're doing his yeshiva, so you're learning Pshat and Rashi, Ke'ein Derais of Gittin, every get needs three, like the supposed Azarua Shita. If you live in Preshburg, 50, 60, 70 years later, in the Chassam Sefer, so then Ke'ein Derais means Ke'ein Derais of Get Al Yedei Kfiya. Regular get, and if you go one step further generation, go to the world of Maham Shif, I don't remember who came first. Who said? Who's the other prayer that was offered here? What's the Kein Deraisa? Is Nishget? Dishget B'Kviya. It's Kein Deraisa of Chalitza. Chalitza B'Shur requires three Dayonim. That's a possible Chumash. Nishget has a Kainim. What do you need? That's a Vadin of Adidin for days. What does Mion have to do with Chalitza? Imagine you Mion to Chalitza. Min Shpides Vasinai. I mean, if you were a Beis Din, sometimes in Moshe Benu and Rabbi Danos, you had a misake in Mion, can I get something? Which is closer, right? This is like an LSAT question. And this is closer to the A or to B. And they still ask those questions. So I have, I'm being down on Mion. I want to know, is Mion closer in characteristics to get or to Chalitza? I'd say, no, Chalitza.
She's designated to someone, and she just all she has to do is finish.
She's doing the action.
Like
she's
designated to get married someone,
and she refuses. So she's more passive. That's what you're saying.
Just saying it's Kain Chalitza.
But why is it more Kain Chalitza than Kain Get?
Because they're not really married.
They're actually married to someone.
In both cases, they're not actually married in both cases.
So you mean it's not a real marriage? Yeah. Oh, I mean it's a weaker kind of an ishus.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's a very conceptual idea. I'm not really married to you. That's why we have a watered down version. We don't have to write, go to Beis and write. We don't have to write piece of paper with the Shema. We just take off shoes. It's so much easier to break up. Interesting. I didn't think of that. So some Acharonim write that there's something else about Chalitza that is a dead giveaway. What word appears in Chalitza? There's chalitza, there's spitting, and what else? There's chris parsha. Me'ein yivami lakim lachiv sheb Yisrael lova yabmi. The word miun in the Torah Kedosha appears in Chalitza. When Chazal was masaking the concept of miun, miun is a refusal to continue this relationship. That's what miun means. So the only ke'im derais that we have of words alone, that refusal of relationship, that's what miun is. That's what Chalitza is. It's a me'ein yivami. So whether you like your lumdership pshat, you like other achrams linguistic pshat, or whether they may be even saying a similar idea, one group of achrams says that the whole discussion of the beauty of the Chassam Sofer is moot. It's irrelevant. We're not even talking about the rest of it yet. So Rabbi said, we're open to dust settles. We have two gedolei rishayim, and we're telling us this story that a get requires a beis din, right? Or as a ruah said it, but he watered it down to such an extent there's nothing left to it. It's one poor dayan left that it's all beis din. The Rabbi Yehuda thought there were three because he didn't see there as a ruah. The next thing we hang your hat is a rashi and said, head of the beis. That's the last place to hang your hat. Your hat's going to end up on the floor. Either because that's again, I think, fiach, I'm sorry for the mamshif, it's chalitza. So it's 102, and I gotta say it on Shir. At 102, bottom line is we don't have any rishon, black and white, that says you need a beis din of three. The best we have is in Rosh Hashanah, you need a beis din of one. But let's go further question, Rabbi Yisrael. Even a niach in your wildest dreams that there's a din of beis din, forget. Why? When did beis din forget for? Who's the din Torah between? He wants to get the ball, she wants to get the ball. Who's the din Torah between? Stay tuned, figure out something. Now, niach, there's a din of beis din, even when I'm even sure. Three day on one day, life, the other. Maybe who's this version? Rashi's baby version. Or is there somebody who says that there's a din of beis din, whatever you think and dream that a beis din is? Based on what? What is it about get that wants to base them in any shape or form? So 95% of the Rishonim say, we're not coming to Shir on Sunday because we don't think there is a din of base them. So if you guys hold like those Rishonim, don't come to Shir on Sunday. But if you want to hear the other side of the story, better show up on Sunday. So we'll talk about Sunday. Okay.